Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Lighthouse. We're so glad you are joining us today. It is good to be with the family of God. So there are several things we want to let you know about. First of all, as many of you know, Brother Billy Turner passed away last week, and so his visitation is today. If anyone would like to go, that is from 3 o'clock to 5 o'clock at Stumball Batten. And then the funeral will be here tomorrow, a visitation at 10 o'clock, funeral starting at 11 o'clock. So for anyone who would like to attend any of that. Also, hopefully you got a flyer this morning for the Target kickoff that's coming up. And we're having a volunteer training on that day, so we want everyone to come. It's open to everyone. It's going to be right here at the church, and that is on May 25th. And we're going to do 11 o'clock. We're going to have food provided, so come on out. It's going to be a good time. And if you're not familiar, our Target services, we typically did every other week uptown at the gazebo. Well, this year they're doing some work on the gazebo, so we're going to change it up. And we're actually going to go to some other towns and partner with their churches and do a service in their community. So I'm super excited of how that's going to play out and how we're going to be able to fellowship and support other churches. So come and hear more about that on May 25th. And if you did not get a flyer, Sister Becky, if you can just leave those back at the table. If you did not get a flyer, feel free to grab one. If you want to grab one and give it to someone who's not here, pass those out. But we'd love everyone to save that date. Also, raise your hand if you're between the ages of 6 and 19. Everyone raise your hand, 6 to 19, 6 to 19, 6 to 19. Okay, all of you are eligible to go to youth camp. Yay! Youth camp is so much fun, but it is also a great opportunity to grow in your walk with the Lord. So we encourage you parents to sign your kids up. There is a poster at the window. It has a QR code you can scan to sign up. And if you want the cheapest rate, anyone like a deal? I'm all about the deal. If you want the cheapest rate, you need to sign up by the end of this month. So go ahead and get those signed up. And that will be coming up in July. All of the dates are also posted on that flyer, so check that out. And my last announcement is we have a new format for texting from the church. So this week, we are going to roll that out. If we have your phone number, we're just going to send you a text. We encourage you to save that number as the church. And if we do not text you because we don't have your number, next week we will have a place where you can sign up if you'd like to receive those text messages. If you do not want text messages, there's a place you can opt out. So just follow through that message. And we think it's going to be a good way to communicate. How many of you know this is a texting generation? So we're going to try to communicate every way that we can. So we have a website, an app, we have texting, we have phone calls, we have all kinds of ways because we want you to stay connected. Amen? And at this time, Brother Ryan and Sister Tricia are coming on up for our call to worship.
Well, good morning. So I was reading this week, because sometimes I feel like when I come up here, I always feel like sometimes I got a message I want to talk about or something I want to say. And this week, I really felt God just telling me, just call people to worship, will you? Amen? So I stumbled upon a psalm, and the title of the psalm is Praise the Lord. I thought now we're this is a good place to start here. So I started reading the psalm, and I got a little bit nervous about our worship team. Because the Psalm 150 says that we're supposed to praise him with a trumpet. And I checked with Sister Debbie this morning, and you didn't find, right? Okay, so we don't have a trumpet. The tambourine used to be in the house. Still is, Sister Betty. Should we get it? Psalm 150 says we need a tambourine. Sister Betty said she'll go get it. The harp. Jimmy's got every stringed instrument in the world, but he doesn't have his harp with him. You see where I'm going, church? The Bible says in Psalm 150, it says, hallelujah. Praise God in his sanctuary. That's where we're at today. It was set aside for praising our God. It says, praise him in the mighty heavens, in his majesty. It says, praise him for his powerful acts. Praise him for his abundant greatness. Just praise him. Most of these psalms I was reading always had a war coming, or David was sinning, or something had happened. But this psalm here is simply talking about just praising God for who he is, for what he's done, what he's ready to do, what he's doing. It says, praise him with a trumpet blast. Praise him with a harp and lyre. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with the flute and the strings. Praise him with resounding cymbals, and praise him with clashing cymbals. Can I tell you something, church? They're not talking about instruments. They're talking about people. Because each one of those instruments has a very distinct reference to a group of people in the time. Different people had different instruments. Different social classes had different instruments. This covered every single one of them to just praise God with whatever you've got in your breath this morning. If you have breath in your lungs, you're to praise God for his majestic power. Amen? So this morning, the one thing that I felt like, and I did, this is no joke, for real, I did talk to Sister Betty, Debbie about this. But I want to do our first worship song this morning without the words on the screen. And I'm believing that if you know this song, you'll shout it as loud as you can shout it. I'm believing if you don't know this song, you're just going to shout. You're going to clap your hands. You're going to stomp your feet. You're just going to shout praises to our God. Amen. So I asked permission for that, and Sister Debbie said that'd be great. She was okay with that. So that's what I want to do this morning. So if you wouldn't mind, stand to your feet. Sister Trisha's going to pray over our tithes and offerings, and then just get ready to praise our God.
Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, for your generosity. And God, we pray right now as we bring our tithes and offerings unto you, Lord, that you will bless those who are able to give, Lord, and bless those who aren't. Father, as we give this money into the people who take care of it, God, I pray, Lord, that it be used for your kingdom, Lord. Lead them, direct them for that, God. We are here for you, Lord. Lord, as we begin to worship and praise you and give our adoration unto you, God, I pray that there's freedom in this place of worship, Lord. Not worried about who's around us, God, but just worshiping and praising you because you are worthy of it all. Father, we give you all the praise, all the honor. In Jesus' name, amen.
highways. You're the only one who can. You turn graves into gardens. You turn bones into armies. You turn seas into highways. You're the only one who can. You're the only one who can. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. Oh, there's nothing better than you. There's nothing better than you. There's nothing. Nothing is better than you. King of Kings.
told me to sing about the glory, and I was studying about the glory of God, and I don't understand it all, but I know He wants His glory to be shown through His people, and He wants to rain down His glory upon us, because it's not about people seeing us, it's about people seeing Him through us. And I was just praying, Lord, let Your glory fall. Let Your glory fall on us today. Let us be a vessel that can receive what You have for us today. So as we sing that today, just lift up your heart to Him. Whatever He's asking of you, whatever He's asking of you to give Him, let's give Him that this morning. So His glory may fall upon us. So His glory may be seen upon us. Amen. His glory can shine throughout this world, in every dark corner.
is my surrender. This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender.
Asking us a question this morning. And that question is simply this: are you just going to make room for me so that you have your little God spot in your life? Or, as the last verse says, is he all you're chasing? Is he your everything? Or is he just, you know, a little piece of your life that you've made room for him? And this is my God thing I do on Sunday morning, sometimes Wednesday night. Oh, and when I'm really in trouble. Or some of you, when things are going really good. Or is you making room for him, meaning that you're clearing everything out? You're getting rid of everything. And your heart's desire, at the root of your heart, your desire is, all you want is Jesus. Is that how you're making room for him? Or are you making room for him in a convenient way? See, just a guest you invite over every once in a while, and you make sure everything's cleaned up, looks good in the rooms he's going to be in, and you got his guest room prepared? Or does he have access to all of your house? Holy Spirit's asking us a question this morning. Will you give me that room? Oh, but God, that room's messy. That room's ugly. I don't even go in that room. That's the junk room. That's where we toss everything. Yeah, but will you give me that room? Will you make room for me there? I don't care how ugly and messy it is. That's where I want to go. Will you make room for me there? I want to read this passage of Scripture to you because I believe it flows with what God is doing in this moment as we've been praising and worshiping Him. And for all of you Bible scholars, you know the context of this, but it's found in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Very key chapter. Verse 22 says this: remember, we were asking for his glory to fall. The Bible says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. And skipping down to verse 24, Jesus then says, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou hast loved me before the foundation of the world. realize that what we were singing is actually a prayer? That Jesus Christ himself has already prayed for us. That's what John chapter 17 is. It's a prayer that Jesus prayed for his disciples. But then he made sure that no one was excluded in the middle of that prayer. He says, but not only for these that are here present with me, but for everyone that would believe on their word after. Jesus prayed for you in Scripture. And his prayer was that we would come and be one as his glory would fill us. And that where he is, we could be with him and we could see and experience his glory. Say, well, how do these two things connect? Listen, if you're going to hide things, if you're going to hold things back, if you're not going to give things to God, so what does that mean? I don't know what that means for you. I can't articulate clearly what that looks for you. Only you know. That's why it's a personal relationship with Jesus. But whatever that thing is, you got to get to the point where you want to give it to him. Where you are so desperate for Jesus that you're not going to allow anything else to come into your life and come between you and him. And so what the Holy Spirit is doing right now as we begin to glorify him and magnify him as he's coming down in a specific way to begin to deal with our hearts. To say, if you want my glory, that's my will. I want to do that. I've already prayed the Father for that. So it's not something we're waiting on him to do. Ouch. We're not waiting for God. God's waiting for us. He's waiting for us. This is my will, that where I am, they will be with me and they will see me in my glory. He's waiting for us. Can we bring ourselves to the place where we say, okay, God, I'm done with all of this that I thought was so important that I've actually put before you, that I've put ahead of you, that I've actually made a God in my life at times? Can I cast that down? Bible scholars, can we go up to the high places this morning and tear down the graven images that we have put up in our hearts? Can we remove those things? And you say, but I can't. It's too much for me. That's why God is asking you the question, will you make that room for me also? Because he will come in and he'll clear it out. And he'll clean it up. And his precious blood will flow and begin to heal and restore and cause us to recover because he will redeem our lives. But God is waiting on you this morning. He's waiting on you. We're not waiting on him. God's waiting on you. And so this is what I want to sing this song again. And we're going to move the order of the service. I believe God has some things he wants to say, and we're going to have an altar call at the end of this service for you to respond as the Holy Spirit keeps working on these things in your heart. And I believe everyone has something. You know, oh no, I'm good. I'll just pray a little bit longer. Let your Heavenly Father get the microscope out. Search me, oh God. Search my heart and know me. Find in me that thing that's holding me back from you. Come on. Can we do that just for a moment before we transition? Can we really have a true worship service where we lay our lives down and we serve Jesus just for a few moments here? Come on, let's just sing this song together. My surrender to you, God.
This is my surrender. Here is where I lay it down. Every
whatever.
Whatever you want.
Whatever you want, God. Whatever you want, God.
Whatever you want.
Is better, Lord. It's your way, not my way.
Your way is better. Shake up the ground, all my traditions. Break down the wall, all my religion. Your way is better.
Step in.
Your way is better. Shake up the ground, all my traditions. Break down the wall, all my religion.
See the burdens people are carrying. You also see the triumphs that you have created and caused in our life. Whether it's a burden or whether it's a victory, we lay it before your feet right now and we give you thanks. We give you thanks for the victories because we know you won them for us. And we give you thanks for the burdens because we know you're going to carry them and take care of them right now. Even the messy places of our hearts and our minds, the compartments of our soul that we would be embarrassed for anyone else to see, God, we thank you for a moment right now of intimacy with you where we're able to expose those things that are within us that are not good. And we begin to give them to you right now. Father, we know that sometimes it's a process. We even have to process it mentally because we don't even understand how to deal with it. God, we thank you that you're walking us through this process right now, that you're initiating it as we freely give to you ourselves. We say, yes, yes, I will make this room for you too. We say that together right now. We give ourselves to you wholeheartedly, God. Everything. Everything that we're aware of, we know of, we give it to you, Lord. We lay it down at your feet. And we thank you, God, that you're moving and you're dealing with it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you're taking care of these things. The people that we've been burdened for, the situations and circumstances in our life that are burdening us down, our jobs, our financial situations, our health, our friends and family, Lord. We give it all to you right now, God. We release it to you. We make a decision to follow you in every way of our life, Lord. God, I thank you that even as this service continues on, you're going to continue to give people a deeper revelation, deeper understanding of their relationship with you, Lord. You're revealing by your Holy Spirit as you're moving in this place in the hearts and lives of people. You're giving them a deeper understanding of who you are to them, what you mean to them, and what they mean to you, Lord. Thank you that you're knitting hearts together. You're knitting their heart with yours, and you're knitting our hearts together to be one in you. And Father, when that happens, our eyes will be opened. We will see your glory. We thank you for your glory. We thank you for your Holy Spirit that's manifested in this place right now and doing the work. And we thank you that you're taking these burdens off of us as we lay them down to you. Some we've created, some others have created. Some are just situations of life. God, we give it all to you right now. We lay it down to you. This is where we lay it down. This moment right here is where we lay it down. Sing that part for us again. This is where I lay it down. Right here, right here, God.
Here is where
right here, right now.
I lay it down.
Hallelujah.
You are all I'm chasing now. This is my surrender.
Hallelujah. Why don't you just lift your hands as another sign of surrender unto Him? Give Him praise. Give Him your worship. Give Him glory. Come on, open your mouths, church. He loves to hear your voice. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing in our midst right now. Thank you for the stirring, Lord, that you're doing right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is for your glory, God. It is all unto you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of God if you wish to be. Thankful to be here this morning, to be with all of you, to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ together. You know, this is a privilege that we get, and it's a freedom that we can experience, and I'm grateful for that. How many of you are grateful? How many of you are thankful that we can come together, join together as brothers and sisters in Christ, and worship the Lord. Hallelujah. At this time, we're going to dismiss our students to go to their classes. We have a teen class this morning. We also have a kids service from 7 to 12 that are welcome to go to that. Then we have a preschool, 3 to 6-year-olds. And then we have a nursery for your babies. And so if you just head back in that direction, they can show you where those classrooms are and where you can let your kids go to learn about Jesus Christ and the love of God in a way that will minister to them. How many are thankful for people who are willing to serve? Amen. Especially teach our kids about Jesus. It's important, and there's a lot of great things that goes on and happens in those classrooms and in the services. God just moves tremendously, and we're grateful for that. If you have your Bible with you this morning, we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you have a YouVersion app, you can follow along there. We have a live event on YouVersion. If you don't have anything, it's okay. We have a nice projector screen that puts everything up there for you. But I want to encourage you, as always, take notes, follow along, and even if you take notes on your phone, I will trust in good faith that you're not texting your spouse asking them what's for dinner after Pastor Joe's long message is over, or that you're not checking your Instagram or Facebook, but that you're keeping notes, right, on what God is speaking to you. But I want to continue on this morning in this vein of building a faith community, the theme that God's given us in this church for this year, that goes right along with what God has spoken to the vision and mission of this house. And I believe that it's very imperative that I remind you, and Pastor Alicia reminds you from time to time, what God is wanting to do in our midst. And I believe that this message is one of those messages that's connecting us together so that we can walk together and do this together. How many know that we're better together? And there's some belief that in this world that, well, you know, I can do this thing by myself. I don't need anybody, blah, blah, blah. It's just me and Jesus. And don't take offense to this if it's your favorite song, but me and Jesus got our own thing going. And, you know, I understand that aspect. It is a personal relationship. I believe completely in that. But you'll also find in Scripture that God tells us to build community and that we should be connected one to another. And I want to challenge your thinking on that this morning to go beyond these walls. It's nice that we can gather here on Sundays and gather here on Wednesdays and gather for specific special events that we have and do certain things together, and that's all wonderful and good, and I believe in that. I believe wholeheartedly in that, but I want to challenge you to build community in your community. And if you read in the book of Acts and how the early church, the first church, that generation, how they lived together, you'll find out it wasn't that they just came to church services together. The Bible even says they went from house to house, broke bread together, had fellowship with one another, spent time with one another. They talked about God on their jobs. Some of them were traveling merchants, and on their highway that they traveled and would set up to sell their goods, they would share Jesus everywhere they went. They were building a common unity in the name of Jesus Christ because their faith was wholly and completely in Him. And so I want to challenge you, don't pigeonhole the church as a building. If 2020, the year 2020, taught us anything, we should know that the church is much bigger than a building. Let's not get ourselves stuck in a building. Y'all staring at me like I got a third eye this morning. God forbid, but if this building would burn down to the ground, the church would still exist. Matter of fact, sometimes that's when the church grows the most, is under persecution and hardship and struggle, right? And so let us focus on being the church, not attending or going to church, as we're building community together. And a couple weeks ago, I started talking about faith and what that means as we're building a faith community. See, we're not just building community. Anybody can do that. Anybody with any kind of zeal and vision and passion can come together and start building a community and doing things together and helping each other out. And I'm all about that. I think service is important. That's one of our core values here, that we serve one another. But we're doing it with an added thing, ingredient, that is more important than anything else. And that is, we're building a faith community. We're building faith in Jesus Christ as we build community together. And therefore, then our community is centered around a person, not a property, not a location. You see, years and years and years ago, somebody had the idea to build a community in this local region. And through the process of time, because the man was wealthy and because he was affluent and he did, I'm assuming, a lot of good things, they decided to name the community after him, and they called it Cary, and it was located in the state of Ohio, that they gave that whole region a name called Ohio, and it became a state, and all these states joined together, and they called themselves the United States, and they named that, and they all came under the banner of being united, the United States. It's one nation, and Ohio came together, and we said, we are the state of Ohio. Go Buckeyes. Sorry, Michigan fans. And then people came together in this region. They named it Cary. And under the name of Cary, they came together and built community. But do you realize that what we're doing is so much bigger than Cary, Ohio? So much bigger than Ohio and the United States? So much bigger than just one nation? Matter of fact, even bigger than the world. Because the universe and all that is in it that God made, that is His kingdom. That is His domain. And what He said is, I'm not going to limit this to a piece of ground, a piece of property, a region that people can point. But I'm going to conquer the hearts of humanity. And I'm going to bring humanity together as one. And I'm going to build a community that will span across the whole world, because it's not about a piece of land. It's about their heart, their soul, the inner man. And when we join that community, it is by faith that we join together, and it's under one name, Jesus. Now, I understand that there are pieces of land that have prophetic attachment to it. The nation of Israel is one of them. We need to pray for the nation of Israel. We need to pray that God is doing what He needs to do in that situation. We need to trust Him. We need to be vigilant while we're praying. Watch and pray as all these things are playing out. And I encourage you as a Christian, if you come across anti-Semitic things or people who are saying they're against the Jews, that you do not join in, but you go against that and you say, hey, that is wrong. No people group should be put down and looked down upon, because God said, for whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Every nation, every tribe, every tongue. And especially the nation of Israel, God's chosen people from the beginning. Amen? But God expanded that through His Son, Jesus Christ, when He died on the cross and rose again. And now He conquers our hearts. I want to talk about faith, but I want to go a little bit deeper in this morning. And I want to deal with faith and trust together and how they work hand in hand. There are three things that are always in action together when we're talking about faith. That is, first of all, faith. There's belief and there's trust. Believing, trusting, and having faith all go together hand in hand. Now, we try to, in our finite minds and knowledge and wisdom, express to you the difference, tell you the importance, and break it down so we can teach it to you. But the truth is that these three things are so connected that you really can't have one without the other. And when you do, then it affects the other. That's why I want to, and let me just read this scripture to you, and because I need to get some Bible out before I keep expounding here, or else I'll preach all day long. Hebrews 11:1. I'm going to read the ESV version, and I'll quote the King James Version to you. It says, Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the assurance of things hoped for. King James says, the evidence, this says, the conviction of things not seen. This is the biblical definition of what faith is. Now some people like to preach this, and it does preach good. Now faith, now, right now, and all of that. But I don't believe that's what the scripture's saying here. It's alluding to the previous words. Now that all of that has been said, this is what faith is. Now that I have encouraged you and told you to believe and have faith and use your faith, this is what it is. It is the substance, or it is the assurance. Everybody say assurance. It's a knowing that the thing that you're hoping for will come to pass. It's the evidence or the conviction of the things that are not seen. What does that mean? How do we reconcile that in our mind? Well, first of all, I want to tell you this, that people that tell you that you need to have blind faith are liars. There's no such thing as blind faith. Because faith is activated through our belief. We believe in something because we see something. Now, I know that we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. But that faith is activated because of something we believe in, and we believe in it because we've seen evidence, or there's an assurance and there's a conviction. That's not a bad word. Don't misinterpret conviction for condemnation. It's not the same thing. Condemnation is me condemning you to punishment. Jesus said, I don't come to condemn the world, but I come that the world through me might be saved or rescued. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Right? Romans 8:1. There's not condemnation that he's giving us, but there is a conviction. What does conviction mean? It's a convincing. And I think it's time that the church gets back to using this word conviction. I'll never forget the time that my wife was in a Bible study and they brought that word up amongst Christians. The word conviction, and a whole bunch of ladies got all mad because they thought that they were pointing fingers and judging them because they didn't understand that they weren't talking about condemnation. They were talking about a convincing. I am convinced that Jesus rose from the dead. That's a conviction I have. I am convinced that Jesus died on the cross. That's a conviction I have. And I am convinced that he did it for me. That's a conviction I have. And I stand strong on that conviction. I am convinced he was born of a virgin. Oh, no claps on that one, huh? Do you believe it? Do you believe that he is the Holy Child of God? Have you been convinced in your heart? Well, how does that happen? Because you have faith. And why do you have faith? Because you have seen evidence, you have an assurance that these things are happening and will happen and have taken place because you've been convinced in your heart that I didn't see it happen, but I know it happened in my knower. Anybody else have a knower? I got this knower inside of me that all of a sudden I just know it. It's true. I know it's real because of my experience that I have had, but even in spite of my experience at times, because I know he's faithful, because, you know, he got me through that last thing. I know he's going to get me through this thing. And because I've experienced a hope that God has given me, I have faith that's going to carry me through. If you remember, the first message was talking about the just or the righteous. Those who have been justified or made righteous by the blood of Jesus, they must now live by faith. So I don't live according to what I think and know. I live according to faith because I have been convinced in my heart that what the Word of God says is true. How did that happen? Well, there was something that took place inside of me. The Spirit of God himself came and dwells inside of me. It happened one day. It just happened when faith was sparked and I received a word that was being spoken, and it came and gave birth inside of me, and it made me a brand new person. Old things passed away. Behold, everything became brand new. And that faith then convinced me because I experienced God Almighty. He came and lives inside of me now. That with that convincing, if that can happen in my life, then what else he said in the Word of God will happen and will take place. So when we're building community, we're building a community that looks unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. That we hold fast to his promises and his confessions and what he has said. And that means this then, that when we have faith, because we have believed, now there's a third thing that must kick in so that we can carry out this faith and live by faith, and that's called trust. And there are people who think, I'm going to say it like this, they think they believe in Jesus. They think they do. You tell them you believe in Jesus? Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. But their hearts have not been convinced that Jesus died for them. And their hearts have not been convinced that Jesus rose again from the grave. It hasn't happened yet. So their belief has not translated into faith in him yet. They're still putting their faith somewhere else. If you remember, we talked about that. Every man has been given the measure of faith. You have faith. It's up to you what you do with it and where you put it. Right? So their belief, they think they believe in God. The truth is that they haven't really believed in God. They believe a story that they've been told about God. They believe that there was a man named Jesus that walked the face of this earth. They're not really sure what happened with him, but they believe that Jesus is real. And they believe that there might be some truth to this. And so what they do is they want hell insurance. Let's get real for a minute. And because the gospel of Jesus Christ has been propagated or been shared across the world, and we live in a country that was founded upon those principles, they have enough knowledge about it to know that if they don't say they believe in Jesus, then there might be a chance they go to hell. So they want hell insurance. So when you ask them, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. But they don't really believe in Jesus. Because if they did, then they would have to take him at his word. And what he says then either has to be true or it has to be a lie. And here's the way I love how God set it up in his infinite wisdom. He set it up where you can't say, well, this part is true, but this part's a lie. Because the way he said things and how he conducted himself and what he did on earth, he is either God, God incarnate, the Son of God, or he is not God at all. He was a lunatic and he was a crazy man. There's no in between with Jesus. Because that's how he left it. So you can't tell me you believe in Jesus, but you don't believe in the resurrection. And don't tell me you've confessed Jesus, like Romans 10 tells you, if you don't believe in the resurrection. Because it also says that you have to believe in your heart that Jesus rose from the dead. That's a fundamental principle of being saved and rescued from sin. It's faith that is initiated. We believe, then faith comes because it is evident there that things that we hope for will come to pass. And we've been convicted, even though we haven't seen it, we're convicted in our hearts that there is enough evidence to prove what God said is true is true. And let every man be a liar. That's the kind of faith we're talking about building. And that faith then must translate into trust. I keep trying to move on, but man, somebody isn't getting faith. Are you not getting faith? I'm going to have to keep preaching until you get it. Got it. She got it. Okay, let's move on. Trust. What is this thing called trust? Trust is something that's held. So belief initiates it. Faith is birth and moves it. We hold on to faith and we use our faith. Faith is what's active all the time, but trust is what holds things. How many of you have ever heard of someone putting something in a trust? It's held there. It's put there for safekeeping. It keeps it. And you know that when the maturity of that comes or whenever that thing happens and you need to access that trust, it will be there. You following me? So my daily walk with faith encourages my soul to keep trusting in God. So not only must we build faith, but we also must build trust. Now let's read this passage of scripture right here. And I promise I'm going somewhere. I'm not just teaching willy-nilly. I'm taking you down a road this morning so that I can stir your faith and cause you to keep trusting in God. Proverbs chapter 3. I'm going to start reading in verse 5. And I'm going to actually read an extra verse that we typically don't. God, at the beginning of this year, put this passage on my spirit, on my heart, my inner man. He began to speak to me. And he made this jump out at me, and there's been many a day that this has been my prayer. And this is what it says. And I actually go to verse 8, but I'm not going to share that with you. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. So, talking about this thing called trust, and it's a thing that I put something in and it holds it. It holds on to it. It keeps it. If I'm trusting in the Lord with all of my heart, that means there's no plan B. That means there's no backup plan. That means there's no getting out. All your heart. Holy Spirit already started talking to us about this during worship. Everything. Trusting in Him with everything. That means this then, that if you have a bank account going back to a trust fund, if you have a bank account, you empty every account you have and you put it in that trust fund. But I still need a savings account, Pastor. You don't understand. Now, y'all know I ain't talking about money right now, right? I'm talking about what your heart's invested in. Have you fully invested everything you own in Jesus? Is that your trust? Are you holding back a savings account in case that doesn't work out? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean to your own understanding. Now they'll tell you, in the world of money and finances and investments, the old saying goes, this is the hillbilly way to say it, don't put all your eggs in one basket. Right? Brother Jerry knows this. You invest in multiple things. You have a diversified portfolio. Is that how they say it? Diversified portfolio. And not only just different businesses, but invest in different markets and different areas of finance. Because one market may fall, but then your other market may go strong. And so blah, 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 blah. That's our own understanding. You know what our own understanding has created? How many of you ever seen those coexist bumper stickers? Our own understanding says, well, all paths lead to God. Really? Let's examine those paths for a minute. Many of them said, I searched for the way. I'm trying to find the way. But Jesus said, I am the way. How can we all coexist and be together and do all the same thing and all paths lead to God if Jesus is the way? See, our own understanding says, well, let's just make everything fluffy and wonderful and we'll turn everything into something great. And I was going to say nursery rhymes, but nursery rhymes are pretty dark. I mean, come on. Have you really thought about some of the stuff we used to say when we were kids? I mean, that's kind of creepy, you know? And then let's just examine some of the scriptures that and things that we want to paint on the nursery wall. Noah's Ark. How beautiful. I always wondered why we didn't have the screaming people outside the ark banging on it in the painting saying, let me in, let me in. Because that happened. People were destroyed in that. David and Goliath, a man's head was cut off. But we have our precious moments gospel that we want to share with everybody. I'm getting real with you this morning. Oh, everything's good and everything's wonderful and everything's great and all the blessings of God and blah, 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 blah. No. Life is tough sometimes. And Jesus was truthful with us and flat out told us, hey, it's going to get hard, y'all. You're going to go through some stuff. And you're going to have to use your faith to trust in me. And I've said this many times, and I'm going to keep preaching it until Jesus comes back or I go by way of the grave. We don't know we have faith until we have to use it. We can say we have faith. We can have ourselves a meeting, come in together, a Holy Ghost shout in time. Everybody feels good. We say, oh man, wasn't it wonderful to be in the presence of God? That really built our faith. Did it? I hope it did, but we don't know if it did until we face the issues of life. And when we're face to face with that, then we know if that really built faith in us or if we was just having a good time. Then we know if our faith is really standing in what we say here, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Can you release that loved one you've been praying for, that you've been agonizing about, that your soul aches for? Can you really give that person completely to Jesus and trust that He'll take care of it? Or do you think you got to keep doing this and doing that, and if I say this, this will help them. If I do this, it will help them, and they'll eventually see that Jesus is the way. And if I get my argument just right. No. Don't lean to your own understanding. Trust God. He will take care of it. He will do it. Can we trust God with the upcoming election? That no matter who's voted in, my king is still Jesus Christ. And I'm going to follow him. And so I trust in him that he'll take care of me. He'll take care of his people. And his church will still advance no matter what's going on around us. Can we trust in God? Not leaning to our own understanding. And in all our ways, acknowledging him so that he can direct or make our path straight. Make it clear so that we understand where we're going and where we're heading. And there may be times where we can't see very far down the road, but our faith tells us, not because it's blind, but because of what he took us through back there, that I can keep walking forward and moving forward because he's with me. He'll always be with me. He's not going to leave me or forsake me. He's going to carry me down this road too. And he's going to make it clear to me where I'm going because I'm acknowledging him in all that I'm doing. And I trust him. Can I really trust him? And here's the big question. This is the one that we like to avoid now. Skim over these scriptures. Can we fear him enough to trust him? Well, Pastor, we're not supposed to be afraid of God. Really? I'm going to tell you something right now. I'm scared enough of him that I'll never approach him without the blood of Jesus on my life. Ever. You see, it's not about me. This is where we've missed it in our generation. Every generation has their thing, so don't think that I'm making this one worse. No, no. Every generation has their thing. Our generation is me. It's all about me. And we think that we're so awesome and so cool and so good that God wants to have a relationship with us. Well, that's true, but we think that he just wants to do it with us. No, don't you realize you cannot approach God without the blood of Jesus? That's why all that Old Testament stuff that you want to gloss over and not read because you think it's boring in Leviticus when it talks about all the procedures and everything they had to do with all the sacrifices. That's why it's important, because Jesus did that for you, and you now stand on the blood of Jesus. You are now covered by the blood of Jesus, and that is the only reason that you can go into the holiest place and come before God and come before the presence of God. We can boldly come before the throne of grace because the blood has been applied to our life. It's not about us. It's about Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Amen. Amen. So you better believe I have a reverent fear of God, that I'm not going to try to approach Him in His glory and in His awe and in His presence and in His power without first coming through Jesus Christ. He is the way. Why are you so crazy, Pastor? Because I know what He's done for me. It's because of Him that I get to go to God. And I fear Him tremendously because of that. I would never misuse or abuse the blood of Jesus and His sacrifice and pretend like it's something I get to play with and do whatever I want with. Wave my magic wand and pull out the blood and plead the blood whenever I want God to do what I want Him to do. Use the Bible as some code-breaking nonsense. No, that's His love letter to me. And it's covered in Jesus' blood. I fear God, because I know that without the blood, then I am condemned to hell. How can I say that? Because Jesus said, when He said that He said He wasn't coming to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved, He basically says this: but if you don't believe and have faith, you have already been condemned. So I fear God. I look to His ways. And I trust in Him. Because He's seated high. And like the old song says, but He looks low. He knows what's going on around here. You're not informing God when you tell Him about all the nonsense that's happening around you. He already knows. You got to come to Him in prayer asking mercy, not telling Him what to do. Asking God, we need You to move. And the next prayer is this: now show me how You want to move through me, because I know that I'm still here on earth because I am Your church and I'm supposed to be about Your business. So that means I have something to do in this broken generation. Can we trust God to take us through His processes because we fear Him enough and know that He's God and we are not? Can we? See, I pray that what I preached to you already has stirred your faith to move it into trust. And say yes. And like I said, can we really then say we have faith if we don't trust Him? Just like, can we say we believe in God without having faith with Him? I don't think that we can. I think what we can say is, for a moment of time, for a second, we allowed our faith to be activated so that we could trust in God enough so that we could have an experience with Him. Listen to me, Christian. Follower of Jesus, don't care how long you've been serving Him. Listen to me closely. Are you just having faith in the Holy Ghost moments and the manifest presence of time with God? And that's when you think you have faith? Then you don't really have faith. And you're not trusting Him. But it's when every day of your life, whether it's good, bad, ugly, mundane, regular day, terrible day, good day, when you have faith in Jesus Christ and you are steadfast, unmovable in His foundation, that's when you can tell me you trust God. Faith without works is dead. I'll show you my faith by my works. Now I'm justified by faith. And in that moment, God does a tremendous work in my life by His grace. But now I'm expected to live by faith. And I should have evidence in my life that I live by faith. I'm not talking about doing good works. I'm saying that, you know what? When a bill comes in that I can't afford to pay, I don't go running around crying and boo-hooing and trying to scrape money up from everybody else. What I do is I fall on my face before God and I say, thank you, God, that my needs are provided by you through Christ Jesus, because it's according to your riches and glory and not mine. And I don't have to worry about this. And I'm not going to fret and wring my hands. I'm going to put it in your hands. I'm going to trust you. And in that, you're going to show me what I need to do. When my health is being attacked, do I run around and try to find every remedy myself? Am I going on Google and Googling all my symptoms and Google Eye and everything that... Trust me, don't do that. You'll think you got every disease that's out there if you start doing that. You'll become a hypochondriac. Or am I going to go before the Lord and say, God, you see this body you have created. And you know what's going on inside of it. I don't understand. I have these symptoms. I don't know what the cause of these symptoms are. But God, I trust you. I trust in your word that says that by your whipped back, the stripes on your back, I have been made whole. And so I stand on your word in faith and I trust you that I'll see it come to pass. I'll listen to you, God. I'll listen to your instructions. If you tell me, go have the doctor check this out, I'll go have the doctor check this out. If you tell me that I need to do this step, then I'll do that step. But God, I'm not running around trying to figure it out myself. I'm trusting in you. What does that mean then? It means this. Hebrews chapter 10. See, this is what was said before Hebrews 11, 1. After this, he says, now, this is what faith is. So I'm kind of doing things backwards, but I felt like that's what I needed to do to take you down this journey this morning. So now that you have all this, the Bible says, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, not your will, God's will, you may receive what is promised. But notice it says you have to have endurance to receive the promise. I think sometimes because we've read the whole story, we forget how long Abraham had to wait for the promise. Oh, he's the father of faith. He's an amazing man of God. He had faith. Do you know how long he waited for the promise? His faith had need of endurance. What does that mean? He had to trust God that he would carry out his word. It says this, for yet a little while, and the coming one will come and will not delay. Hallelujah. But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. That's where the fear of God comes in again. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and persevere their souls. Hallelujah. What is that a definition of trust? That I'm trusting in God no matter what. And I know that if God has spoken something to me, that I will see it done. I'll see it accomplished. Pastor Darius, you just caught my eye. We trusted God that God was going to bring you and your family here. I still remember that moment in that building over there. And we sat around the table and had a phone call with you. And you said, I don't know how it's going to happen, but I trust God. And you asked us to join our faith with you and trust God. Now we see the evidence of what was convicted in our hearts. Your family's here. He has his green card. Hallelujah. Praise God. God's moving. His family's about to ready to get theirs. Everything's falling in order. And then we started praying, okay, if God's bringing you here, it must be for a purpose, for a reason. What are we praying about? And we know you work actively and you're on our executive team and all that, but we also felt like God was birthing an opportunity for us to reach the Hispanic people in this region. And we had no clue if anybody'd show up. And our faith had need of endurance when we held our first event, didn't it? One person came and they weren't even from Upper Sandusky where we held the event. They had already been attending our church and they just came along. That was it. It was us and him. That was it. Our faith had need of endurance in that moment. We could have said, you know what? Maybe we miss God. We're just going to throw it out in the towel and call it quits and we'll figure out what God really wants to do. No, no, no. We knew because we had been meeting in prayer. And our faith had need of endurance to move into trust. And we just trusted God through the process. And we declared that we sowed seed. We didn't see anything, but we sowed seed in the ground. And I'm going to tell you something that doesn't usually happen. You want to see the miraculous work of God. It wasn't mine or his work or Pastor Alicia or Pastor Dunia or even this church. It was God's hand. The very first Hispanic service we had, 20 people who only speak Spanish came and gave their life to Jesus Christ. And we only had to give one meeting event where there was nobody. Only one. We'd give 100 if it was for just one soul, wouldn't we? Why? Because that's what it's about. We lose focus because we get our feelings hurt and we don't like this and we don't like that. And Brother Ryan didn't shake my hand, so he must be mad at me this morning. And blah, 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 blah. All of this, we lose focus and we forget that our faith has need of endurance and we need to keep trusting God. And maybe these are just distractions trying to pull us away of what God really wants to do.
Amen.
Do we really trust God? Are we really walking with him? Are we letting patience have her perfect work like James says? Can we hold on to the promise that he has spoken to us? You see, we haven't even seen some of the promises yet spoken. We're believing for more for the Hispanic services in the Hispanic church. I'm believing for more. I'm believing one of these days we're going to have a bilingual service. And we ain't going to have room for everybody because the Hispanic service has grown so much and we've grown so much, we're going to have to find places to put people and we may just have to move it outside and do it in the parking lot. Wouldn't that be amazing? You say, well, you're just crazy, Pastor. Yeah, I'm crazy for Jesus and I believe in him and I trust in him that when he gives us a promise, we're going to see it through. It will tarry yet a little while. Well, you say, well, man, it was just he just said a little while. Well, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. So how long's a little while? And we can break all that apart and pull it apart and try to decipher scripture so we can know. Like people think that, oh, Jesus is coming back and this is the day. No man knows the day or the hour. It's called faith. It's called trust. Will we live by it? Will we follow after it? Will we do it? Will we hold and know that in yet a little while, whatever that means, it was 400 years of silence for the first time him to come. Yet a little while, but it happened. It happened. And there were people who held on to faith and trust. And before Jesus left, he asked us this question. When I return, will I find faith on the earth? Our response must be yes. We trust you, God. We trust your process. We trust your timing. It doesn't look like what we think it should look like, but I'm not leaning on my own understanding. I'm acknowledging you in everything that I do. And my faith and hope and trust is in you with all of my heart, God. And I know that you're going to carry it out. Let me read this Old Testament verse and bring this to a close with one more verse out of Isaiah. Habakkuk says this, or Habakkuk, however you pronounce it. And the Lord answered me, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so he may run who reads it. Now this is where Hebrews is quoting this portion. For the vision awaits its appointed time. It hastens to the end. It will not lie. If it seems slow, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Behold, his soul is puffed up. It is not upright within him. But the righteous shall live by his faith. Hallelujah. If we make the vision plain so that you can carry it. Say, how is all this coming together? I'm trying to stir you to hold on to the promises of God and teach others to do the same. That's how we build a faith community. And when we have a brother or sister believing for something, we join our faith with them and we trust in God with them. That way, when one is weak, the other may be strong and uphold the other one. And then when that one gets weak, the other one is strong and upholds the other one. You see a pattern here. We come together and we build community together. And I'm going to tell you something right now. That has to happen. It cannot happen in this building. It has to happen outside of this building. We don't have enough time together here on a Sunday morning to really join our faith together. We only have moments. But after you hear a prayer request because you've been together, after you see a brother or sister on a Sunday morning and you hear and know what they're going through, then throughout the week you keep praying for them. You keep believing God with them and you call them up, shoot them a text, see how they're doing. That's how we build community and build a faith community, encouraging one another to believe God for the impossible because He has promised it. The difficult part is in the waiting, especially for our generation. How many of you ever got irritated because your Wi-Fi didn't work? Now, I'm of the group that we grew up, and when we became teenagers, we had AOL. Y'all remember AOL? And we thought it was amazing because we were getting to send a message across the computer. And we'd wait a half an hour for that message to go through and get the other one back. And now if we can't pull up a web page within seconds, why isn't my Wi-Fi working? What's the matter with this? Come on, Spectrum. Spectrum. I'm looking at you, Spectrum. I'm teasing Brother Jim. He works for Spectrum. Get it fixed. Get it working. Get it moving. We're all freaking out during the eclipse because we thought the cell towers were going to go down. We ain't going to be able to make a text message or a phone call. Right? And I say we in general, the public, all that. You understand what I'm saying, right? Because we don't know how to wait. We go to the grocery store. We get a whole basket, buggy, shopping cart, whatever you want to call it, full of groceries. I mean, we spent $150, $200. I got $200, I got $250, $250, $300, $300. It just seems like that's what it's like lately, right? Just keep going. But we go through the checkout line, and what do we have? Oh, a bottle of pop right there. Candy bars galore, packs of gum. And sometimes we can't wait until we get home to cook the groceries we just bought. We have to buy something then and there. Because, you know, I mean, I've been working hard getting on these groceries. I'm pretty thirsty. I think I'm going to get me a bottle of pop here to take home on the ride because I need something to drink. And maybe it's just me, but I've done that before. And I will admit to you, well, I've earned it. And I'm not going to wait. See, this is our struggle, guys. In our generation, we've lost the art of waiting. I was even thinking about this with our kids, with all of the nice, convenient streaming platforms we have and how everything is saved. We can watch a series. I mean, we can watch 2 episodes, 3 episodes in a day, right? Don't binge too much. It's not healthy. But I was thinking to myself, man, we had to wait a week before we got to see the next episode when I was a kid. We've lost the art of waiting. And so therefore, as Christians, sometimes our faith struggles because we don't know how to wait. And really what God's doing is He's perfecting something inside of us as we trust Him through the process while we're waiting. And so He says this in Isaiah. Many of you can quote this with me, 40:31. Ready? Say it with me. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. We like all the last part. It's almost like we forget the first part. That there's a condition to the promise. I'm going to run and not be weary, man. I'm signing up for a marathon. Let's go. Who needs Delta or American Airlines? I'm going to mount on wings like an eagle and fly. No, only those who wait. Only those who wait. You don't get to make that promise in 20 seconds. You don't get to see that happen in your timing. It's they that wait upon the Lord. Then our strength is renewed. Could it be that our faith has grown weak, not because we haven't been using it? Could it be that we feel our trust waning, not because we haven't been trusting, but because we haven't waited and rested so that our strength could be renewed? But we just keep running, running, running. Another old song, running, 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 because I'm in a hurry. Running on the King's Highway. I don't know what we're in a hurry for, but we're running. And we think we're doing it on the King's Highway. Are we? Are we just on Highway 15, running back and forth from Findlay to Cary, wearing our vehicles out, wearing ourselves out? I'm running, running, running. I'm in a hurry, and I got to get this done, and I got to do this, and I got to do that. And no, 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 no. Those who wait on the Lord. You see, if we want to have a faith community that trusts in God, we have to exemplify it. We have to show people how to do it. And sometimes that means we slow down enough in our busy schedules and we allow for interruptions of God. Well, I know we hate interruptions in our schedule. No, no, we allow for those interruptions and we sit down with people and we share the love of God. We share the gospel with them. And we love them with the true love of Jesus Christ. And we say, let's wait on that. God's moving. Trust in Him. He's moving. See, His glory's coming. His glory's coming, church. It's what He prayed. It's what He wants. Are we willing to get ourselves in the place where we need to be and wait patiently for God to do what He's doing? For His promise will come. It won't delay. We just wait on it. You stand to your feet this morning. They can come back to the music. This is what I want to do. I want to give you a time first. My hope and prayer is that you have been reflecting personally on what's been preached to you, proclaimed to you, and that you're evaluating your heart and your life. And I believe that some of us, so I'll even lump myself into it, have some areas in our hearts, in our souls, that we have not been patiently waiting. And out of that, we may have even reacted wrongly. We may have done stuff that was sin even. Things that we shouldn't do. The Bible says that godly sorrow leads to repentance. Can we allow God to break our hearts in this moment and say, God, I'm so sorry. I fear You more than anything else. And I'm going to follow after you in your will. And I'm going to stop trying to make things happen myself. But I'm giving this to you right now, God. You see, we initiated it during worship. Here is where I lay it down, right here, right now. And I'm going to wait on you, God, and trust in your timing, God. Not my timing. I'm not setting a stopwatch and saying, if it don't happen by then, no, I'm out. That's a backup plan. Can we trust God with all of our heart? I think we need to take a moment and really reflect on that. We need to ask ourselves, search me, God, show me, are there things in my heart that I'm holding back from you and that I'm not giving to you and trusting you to take care of? And then the second challenge I want to give you this morning is this. Have you grown so scheduled and regimented that you're not allowing divine interruptions in your life? And when it happens, you're irritated and you're short with people and you're mean with them. And really, that was a moment that you got to share Jesus with them, and instead they saw Joe. Or you fill in your name. Because it was actually a divine interruption and you saw it as a problem. And God's saying, no, I was giving you an opportunity to build community. We miss it if we're not walking in faith and trusting in God. Because we're depending on our busy schedule, and this is when it has to happen, and this is when it must be done. Those are the two challenges I want to give you this morning. And if you want me to pray with you, I would love to pray with you. I love praying with people. So I'll be here. If you want to respond to those challenges in a way where you feel like, man, I need to come up front. We have benches. You can sit on them. You can kneel at them. You can stand. Sometimes you just got to push yourself. Say, I got to get out of this comfort zone. If I stay here right now, then I know that I'm going to think about all this stuff, but I'm not going to make a change. But I'm going to consciously, physically do something to show myself and to show my trust in God that, yes, I'm responding to this. And I'm trusting in you, God. Then step out and do that right now. Maybe you just like, no, I'm good. I just need to stay right where I am and I'm hearing God. That's fine too. But let's respond to these challenges. And I'm saying us because I am too. And let's believe that God is going to help us learn how to trust Him even in the difficult seasons of life. Because I know, church, as your pastor, I know it's been difficult for many of you. You've been facing all kinds of things. Physical things, financial things, relationship things. It's difficult. But I'm going to tell you something. I know the God that I serve and you serve. And He can carry you through this time. And if you wait on Him, He'll give you the strength that you need. Let's trust God together. Can we do that? Father, right now in the name of Jesus, you see those that have approached your throne, whether with their heart or physically stepped out and came up front to respond. God, we thank you for this intimate moment you're giving them right now as they look into their hearts, expose it to you, as we turn away and repent from the things that we've been doing that have just been creating chaos, or we've just been creating more stress for ourselves and we want to blame it on others. God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. I give it to you right now. And I wait upon you and your timing. So our faith has need of endurance, and it's enduring the test of time. And we wait upon you, Lord, right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're speaking to individual hearts right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.
Trust in the Lord.
church care team members or prayer team members, find somebody to pray with. Come along, even if you're not on a team, find somebody to pray with this morning. Pray with your brothers and sisters.
Lord, and lean not to thine own.
Sister Jess come. She's just going to share a testimony with you of waiting. Just to build your faith before we leave this morning, and so you can hear what God does when we just keep trusting and waiting, even when it doesn't make sense. Go ahead.
So I've been struggling at my job for probably about 5 months now, and there have been major changes with the management, and I am part of management. That's the hard part. But I work at a site that is a lot smaller than the rest of them. So through this process of change, I've been undermined. I've been in this field for 10 years, and they have not trusted some of my judgment in certain situations, and they've shut me down. I've felt very, very tiny there. And I decided to start looking for a job. So I had people reaching out to me, and I'm looking around, but I keep hearing God tell me, it's not your time. I have you here. And I'm so discouraged and so frustrated, just coming home crying from work sometimes. Like, I don't know what you're doing or why you have me here, but okay, if you say stay, I'll stay. And it was very hard. It was to the point I didn't even want to go into work most days. And that's hard for me because I work with the community. I'm a mental health and substance abuse therapist, and I run a treatment center, so it's really hard to walk in that building and not want to be there because I am there to save people. I am there to inspire and build up and give them hope and motivation for another day, and I was weak and low. So the last couple weeks, HR came down to see me as I have expressed to them my feelings as well. They brought corporate with them. And before they left, they said that the small agency that I run that is part of way bigger sets the precedence of every company of what they want in every agency under them. That is God working through me. The supervisor who kept belittling everything I was saying was forced to promote me last week. Is when he promoted me. And not only did he promote me to run the mental health day treatment program that I created 4 years ago, but he also told me, why are you working every day? You should be working from home once a week. So not only did he lift me up as I waited and cried in the most difficult season that it was for me to hold on to, he promoted me and gave me favor within the entire company. That is how good God is when we wait.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We keep waiting. We keep trusting God. And he'll work it out. Amen. You'll stand to your feet. We'll be dismissed. I want to say I appreciate all of your love and prayers that you've reached out this week to us. We know that you've been there for our family, and you will continue to be, and that's another just great thing of being part of a faith community. We appreciate you all, and I just want to say thank you, and I love you all so much. Just a reminder, the visitation will be from 3 to when? 5 today. That will be at the funeral home, and then for those that can make it tomorrow morning, the funeral service will be here, and you're more than welcome to come and join us and be with us. I know that Grandpa touched all of your hearts as well as he was a part of us, and so we want you to have that opportunity as well to celebrate his life and his legacy, and it is a celebration. I was talking with Brother Don. Brother Don grew up underneath his ministry and was sent out and pastored churches, and he was saying, I can't be sad, because I know where he's at, and I know he's finally made his goal, right? Amen? And I feel the same way. And so we're so appreciative of that and appreciative of you guys, and we want you to feel welcome to come and join us and be a part of that. Let us dismiss in prayer. Father, we just thank you for everything that you're accomplishing in us and through us here as we're building community together, but as we're strengthening our faith in you. We thank you that you've given us the faith that we need. And you're helping us to exercise that faith and to put it in motion so it grows stronger in you, Lord. and through every difficult situation and every hard season, Lord. We thank you that our faith and our trust can remain in you and in your hope, and that you keep us in your perfect peace. Now, God, I pray that grace and peace be multiplied to every person that's here and to their household. Lift them up, Lord. May your face shine upon them as they continue to walk with you. I thank you, Lord, that the things that were in our hearts today, you've already began the process of working through them, and you're dealing with them, Lord. And we're so grateful for that, Lord. And we're going to continue to walk that path with you as we leave this place. We have started a journey here today, and we're going to walk it with you the rest of the days. I thank you that you're working those things out. We just declare blessing upon everyone. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. Yeah.